Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. The Tausch's summer sabbatical rolls on, and so does our cavalcade of outstanding, ausgezeichnet, yeah, cousin subs of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better, edition. The ball king edition. If you know me, you know that what came up yesterday with Jeff Hafley is going to be a story with me, and I'm very, very, very interested in pursuing it. Edition. And I want to talk about Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical. Edition. Of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5. ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you could want, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, who was in attendance, which would explain why things went poorly for the Brewers.
That is just not fair.
Did they win or did they lose? They lost bad. Had they won a lot of games while you were not in attendance, and then when you showed up, things went poorly?
I mean, I'm 2-2 on the season. It's not like I'm awful.
Seems like they've got a better winning percentage when you're not there.
I suppose. 20 games over. Yeah. You're right.
I believe this argument is over. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from somewhere, perhaps on the Mizzou campus, perhaps Mizzou campus adjacent, not from the set of Wipeout or Sports Center, because he's... Well, I wouldn't say he's all ours, but he's mostly ours now. A legend, not in his own mind, a legit legend. It is our friend John Anderson on Wilde and Tosh as our cousin sub of the day. John, good morning. How are you?
I want to know who else has been in the cavalcade of stars. Like, I want to know who else is on this edition of Love Boat that I should know, you know, when they bring out the big names. Who else am I joining here? Has Gabe Kaplan yet hosted the show?
He has not. Welcome back, Cotter. Still one of my favorites, though. Couldn't get Travolta either. I know Michael J. Fox at one point was on the Love Boat for an episode. You never knew who was going to show up on the Love Boat, and you never know who's going to show up on Wilde and Tosh. So we've had Brian Bulaga twice, two-time cousin sub of the day. We had Alex Strofe once. We apparently had some trouble booking someone of greater renown.
That's mean.
We had Joe Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've heard, but he's got Hall of Fame beef, which we did a bit of an infomercial for while Jesse was munching away on some wagyu.
It was good. Best beef I've ever had.
And now we've got you. And tomorrow we've got a special event at Camp Randall, so we don't have anyone. We've got Jim, Matt, and Molly doing their show.
Olympic
in
gold
our
medalist.
Stead.
Olympic gold medalist is yeah, in but the he's criteria.
He's not in the Tausch seat. He is on his own show in a different time slot, and I will be joining as a guest on their show in our time slot. So be sure to tune in for Jim, Matt, and Molly tomorrow. But
you did forget Brad Nortman, who played in a Super Bowl. Let's be nice to Brad. You forgot about Brad.
That's right. We had Brad Nortman. You know, punters is what happens to punters. Yeah.
Yeah, Fiegels exactly. Once told me it was so great. Fiegels, years ago, I was covering the Cardinals on a Phoenix, and Joe Nedney, their kicker, ran down on a kickoff, and he tore an ACL. And Fiegels was like, I tell these people all the time, if you are a kicker punter, don't get involved in the football game. And I think that is all you ever need to know about those two guys, that position. Don't get involved in the football game.
I apologize publicly to Brad Nortman, nevertheless. And I also did not have Jeff Fiegels once told me on my bingo card for today's show. That's the beauty of having John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. So tell me, is that the humble Anderson abode in Columbia, Missouri? Is it your? I see there's some sort of campus print behind you. Maybe I'm not.
So
I'm
that
trying
is
to
my humble
discern.
Abode. No, what that is, if I can tip up, that's actually from when I was 40, and a bunch of us went and played golf at Whistling Straits. So that's the metal
wow.
place right there. That's 15 along. Where I threw a nifty little 85 at the field that day.
Oh, well done. And all those signatures are your buddies, or you were playing with like Tiger Woods and Mark Calcavecchia or what?
No, in fact, what's really funny is I look at those and I got to decipher who they are because they sign their real names, but that's not what anybody calls them, right? Like there's Roger Gossi's the Dodge, Steve Kiley is Bedtime. J.P. Miller's the Pope. Dave Hunzacker's the Lucky Dog. So, yeah, it's signed in their names, but that's not what anybody calls them. And then adjacent, one over here, is a similar print and picture and scorecard of the Straits course that we played.
And Pete
so there
Doherty
you go.
Did
that's
not...
my little bit of Wisconsin here in this room.
And as a Green Bay guy, I am curious about a couple things about you living in Missouri, but I have a more important question. That is, I know Homer's show is only an hour, so there's not enough time for this. At some point during our 3-hour window, will you turn around and play the piano behind you?
No, that you have to be my wife or my son to play that. So it does get use. It's not, you know, he's here. We just moved him back. He graduated with his master's degree in journalism. He's trying to get a job. So right now, like any other kid, he's just asleep, and hopefully he'll be up before noon. If so, we'll see if he'll entertain us with something.
Respect. Nothing but respect for him for that. All right. Jesse, we cannot go any further into this show. I'm sorry. We got a lot we want to get to. I know John, having been born and bred here in Green Bay, wants to get to Packers. We all want to get to Packers, but I wasn't trying to be mean, but right. They had won the first two games of the series with the Cubs. You decide to go down there, and not only do you decide to go down there, you decide to go down there with a capital J journalism. I mean, not a master's degree like John's son, but journalism, capital J, and go to the post-game press conference with Pat Murphy. And they get, what was the final yesterday? 9-3, 10-3?
10-3. They tacked one on at the end. Yeah, 10-3. Tough day at the park.
Tough day to be jokey Jesse Nelson. You know, I thought maybe you'd have some fun with Pat Murphy, but when you get beat 10-3, not exactly ideal accommodations for such a thing. So tell us your story, capital J Jesse.
I was very excited to go to the game yesterday, especially because I had gone for the first time in 9 years. I had gone a few weeks ago when they hosted the Dodgers as a capital J journalist and went down to the press conference, and I was a little nervous. Didn't know how to time up the question. There were only a handful of reporters there a few weeks ago. I didn't realize we were going to be done after 4 minutes, and so I did not get a question in, and Tausch got after me for not getting a question in a couple of weeks ago. So I had a few questions ready to go yesterday. I was brainstorming on my drive down as the game played out. Okay, if they win, I'm going to ask them this. If they lose, I'm going to ask them this. And then we walked into the media auditorium where he holds the post-game press conference. And last time there were like 6 reporters there. Yesterday there were like 20. Everybody was there yesterday. All the TV people, all the radio people, all the newspaper people, all the national people. There were a lot of people there. And he did an 11-minute press conference. And I was ready to jump in and give a couple of questions. And then some of the regulars hopped in and took them from me. And it was the same question, which justifies, good preparation by me. Had the right questions ready to ask. But I did not ask Pat Murphy a question yesterday either. I am 0-for-2 as a capital J journalist in post-game press conferences with the Brewers manager.
So, and I will defer to the professor momentarily,
yeah.
But I do have one question, and, uh-huh. And that is this. The cardinal sins, the three mortal sins that quarterbacks can commit, according to Tom Clements, which is ingrained in Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love and Sean Clifford's minds, no blind throws, no predetermined throws, and no late throws over the middle. You sound like you had predetermined questions even before the game had begun. So my question now becomes, what were they? And are you not nimble enough to have come up with something on the spot? Do we need to work? Do we need to do some drill work here?
Yeah, now, so, okay, here's... And I'm glad I have two esteemed journalists to be able to get after me for this. So I don't go to the Brewers game every day. I don't go to Seattle like the beat writers do all the time. So I don't have the same kind of relationship with Pat Murphy. And I'm also not there to ask.
And you called for his job.
I did not call for his job on the cribbage board giveaway day when they were in fourth place and awful and couldn't score a run. I said, do we have to start to think about when to have a conversation? I never called for his job. Had they won, I was going to ask him about was there a turning point in the season, and I thought that would have been a appropriate question given how I take credit for their hot streak starting the day after I asked that question at Pablo's birthday bash. So when I come to a press conference, one of the questions I want to ask, it's not about, okay, Freddie Peralta didn't look like his normal self yesterday, huh, Pat? I'm not going to ask about what'd you think with two on in the fourth inning and you weren't able to push a run across. Seemed like the turning point. Like, I'm not going to ask that question. That's for the regulars. I want to ask something that's a little more big picture. So I wanted to ask him about the trade deadline and what his plans are for today. The Brewers have an off day before flying to Washington, D.C. later today. And someone else did ask him, what's your plans for today? He gave a great answer. He's hanging out with his kids. He's got scheduled time. He's working with one of his kids for 2 hours and doing some baseball drills. And then he's just doing some daddy time with the other kids for a couple hours, coming to the stadium for a little bit. Then they're hopping on the bird, which I thought was a very Pat Murphy way to say taking the plane to D.C. So he's got that going on. So it was a fun glimpse into the life of Pat Murphy. And I thought that would be a very... Wildy would be proud of my question had I asked that of him yesterday.
But you didn't.
What I was actually going to ask him was, and inspired by you, the way I was going to ask this was...
Oh, dear. This is going to be really long.
Hey, Pat. Yeah, a little bit. Not as long as yours, but kind of. I learned from the best. Hey, Pat. Or Murph. I haven't decided if we're on Murph terms yet. Hey, Murph. Few years back, Mike McCarthy, as the head coach of the Packers, was asked about the trade deadline in Green Bay, and he joked, saying, oh, is that this week? I assume you're a little more in tune with what's going on, but what are your plans for trade deadline day tomorrow with an off day? And I thought that might have been a fun question to ask. It would have been McCarthy related. I thought you would have enjoyed that. No, you're shaking your head. Oh, geez.
I just don't know if he like, that's a great reference. It's one of my favorite moments. Like, we all were like, oh my God, Mike McCarthy doesn't know when the trade deadline is. And then he was like, that's what it's like around here for the trade deadline. It was his delivery. Like, I know John Anderson knows comedy, especially after doing all those shows with Henson for a while on Wipeout. The delivery was outstanding, just outstanding. I don't know if that's an old reference now, and I don't know if Pat Murphy's Packers plugged in enough to really get the joke. I think it would have been a risky play. So tell Todd Rosiak or whoever asked for you, thank them for their service to save you from that.
They covered that one. Was going to ask him about, did he have a message to the team regarding the trade deadline? Because today was, today was the last day that likely, if there was a trade that happens before the deadline, today is the last day everyone's all going to be together. Is anyone nervous? What's your message to the team? Someone did ask him about that. And he said, we've talked about it. Everyone's prepared for it. Many of these guys have been through it. We just did it with Eric Haas a couple of days ago, the backup catcher. They're all prepared for, anything can happen at the trade deadline. Great answer. Great perspective on what it's like in the locker room. I thought that was really good. Again, someone else asked it. One of the reasons I did not ask a question is because I did not ask a question yesterday does not mean the manager and I did not interact once again.
Whoa. Talk about burying the lead. All right, let's look. I don't want you to have to rush this story. Wait a minute. Am I going to be disappointed?
Yeah, we should. Let's just do it now.
So you're already telling me I'm going to be disappointed. It does not merit Tausch telling. Well, you know what? We're going to have Tausch tell us about Pella anyway, and then we'll hear it because I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
That your there call, was an, not mine.
That the interaction was not going to be anticlimactic, but I have a feeling it might be. So in the interim, let's hear from Tausch. Tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So then we can hear about Jesse's interaction with Murph at yesterday's Brewers game, and then get into the Packers, who returned to the practice field today after the players had an off day yesterday. They will be back on Ray Nitschke Field a little bit later this morning. We'll get to that with John Anderson as our cousin sub of the day. But first, here's Tausch to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines, all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0 interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Daddy Jackson time starts at 10, from 10 to noon, and then noon to 2 is Osti Daddy. And then I drop him off, and then I come in here, fiddle putt around, and then jump on the bird, go to Washington, make calls, catch up on all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
That's... I'm sure the answer would have been even better had Jesse asked it. That is manager Pat Murphy, or as Jesse calls him now, Murph, because they're so close.
We're tight.
As the Brewers get ready to take on the Nationals tomorrow, as they have the day off and they travel to our nation's capital, where all kinds of great things are occurring these days. I'm curious, Jesse, if you thought that was a good answer, then do you think that your question would have gotten an even better answer? Are you that confident?
I think it would have got the same answer. I don't know if I'd say it would have got a better answer. Mm-hmm. That's what we were going to get for if we asked what are his plans on trade deadline day, which, again, it's a glimpse into the manager's life. That's what makes Pat Murphy Pat Murphy. That's why we love him, right?
Murph. Yeah, Murph. So you interacted with him, though, at some juncture.
I did. So, John, you weren't here the last time we did this.
Lucky
so,
you.
So when you, I learned this the Monday night that the Dodgers were in town. When you go to Pat Murphy's press conference, he always, before he starts the official press conference, he looks around the room and he asks anyone he doesn't see regularly to introduce themselves, which I've never seen any other coach of any kind do. And I love that. It's a little nerve wracking when you don't expect it and, it's, and you're on the spot to do it. So there's interns.
Why is that? Do you not remember who you are or what makes that?
No, like, it's just like, you know, we're here for the press conference. Sometimes you have like interns and some of the people who aren't there all the time. You just kind of, you know, sit back and you record the audio and you're there to gather it. But you're not, you know, you're not prepared to jump in and, you know, be part of the mix like the regulars are. And so when he starts it by having all the irregulars introduce themselves, it's a little nerve wracking.
Okay.
So even though it was a full house yesterday, he walked in. Ooh, pretty full house here. He did still look around to see if there were any newbies. And dead eye contact with me, three rows up. So,
but I saw you call him Murph. So, like, come on.
Without further ado, I had just started the recording not thinking. I didn't think he was going to do this with how many people were there yesterday. I thought we were not going to do this part of it, but no, we did. Oh. And here we go.
No interns? Do I know everybody? Anybody want to introduce themselves? Just because they haven't been here in a while and don't really follow us till now? Kind of front running? Anybody?
I mean, I was here a few weeks ago with Jesse Nelson, ESPN Wisconsin. Good to see you, Pat.
Anyone else? Just show up like once every... Nobody else wants to... Go ahead.
Eric from Green Bay.
Eric's been here just about every day, but he just...
Yeah.
All right, guys, what do we got?
I got to give you credit. You delivered. It's all Pat. It's all Murph that did the heavy lifting.
Yeah, front runner.
But you delivered. You're a front runner
meeting member. Yeah, and the only one, because the other guy, which he's like the camera guy in the back, who apparently says that every time he does that. So, yeah, I was the only one in this crowded room of all the Milwaukee and even some of the other media members. The only one who fessed up to being a front runner who was only there because it was a big game yesterday. And Murph called me out right before the press conference started for it. Hmm?
John Anderson, the professor, your thoughts?
Well, I had some empathy early when he, you know, I get it, when somebody bogarts your question, that happens.
Uh-huh.
We don't all have Wildy-type access where we then, after the press conference, sidle over to the side and get, you know, talk for 5 minutes on our own, you know, so... but listen, I applaud you for standing up there in the end. I would have leveraged that since you were there. I would have said, hey, since I'm here and I've introduced myself, I would have blurted out the question and gone right from there. When he said, you know, that's your opportunity is right there. You've literally just announced your presence with authority like Nuke LaLoosh. Then you should have just bang right into the question. That's the only other thing. Otherwise, you know, that's good of you to step up right there.
I thought someone else in the room would introduce themselves and say, yeah, we're not here all the time. No one else did it. I was the only one in the entire room who said, yeah, I'm not here all the time. Hi. Hey, Pat. Nice to see you.
Murph. And then I'm going to start with Murph.
Jesse's.
So that is now two consecutive, because last time he asked if he knew me, and it seemed like there were some undertones, like he may have gotten wind that I'm the one who called for his job.
No, that was
back in
that was just that was a guilty conscience.
The more I listen to it, the more it sounds like he knew who I was. And now this happens yesterday. I don't know if I'm going to go back the rest of the season. I don't know. I'm a little scared.
They may not lose again.
This guy comes in. He succeeds Council, leads him to the division title by 10 games to win again. But you already were ready to have the discussion early this season that maybe he wasn't the right guy. Because, like, how many times have you called for LaFleur's job? Because the way you write this, LaFleur should be out. I mean, I had no idea how hot the seat is on Matt LaFleur with your sort of the way you view coaches and managers.
Well, okay. First of all, clearly I was wrong and too early on the Pat Murphy question. I think we all know that, but it's helped us over the last 2.5 months, and it's what propelled the Brewers on this massive winning streak. Everyone's welcome. Thankfully, John, I don't have to ask that question because Tausch has been here saying that this season is a massive season for Matt LaFleur because he hasn't had the postseason success except for that one game. You know, since Jordan Love, since Aaron Rodgers left, it hasn't been as solid. 7 seed, Jason said this a couple of times, if the playoffs didn't expand a couple of years ago, the Packers wouldn't even be in the playoffs each of the last 3 years. So this is a massive season for Matt LaFleur. He's obviously had a lot of success in the regular season. I think he's navigated. Yeah, they exceeded expectations 2 years ago. They need to get better this year, and they need to perform better and hopefully perform better in the postseason. Otherwise, I think there will be questions after the season concludes.
Yeah, I'm saying, though, under your the way you treated Murph, we should have been asking this a couple, 3 years ago. You know, the first time he didn't make the playoffs, the one season to make the playoffs. So I'm surprised you didn't have him out. He should, you know, selling hot dogs.
Selling hot dogs. Yeah.
You know what? That's fair. I deserve all this.
You deserve most of it. We've gotten after you pretty good. Not all of it. We've probably gone a bridge too far, but it's been fun. And I am glad, despite your chicken inability to ask a question, you did get an interaction. We do have the audio, and it was pretty glorious. I'm not going to lie. So I really enjoyed that. What I also enjoy is our great partnership with Steinhoffels. What I did not enjoy was a great night's sleep last night. Had nothing to do with my mattress from Steinhoffels. Had to do with a little bit of discord among the pets at 3 o'clock in the morning that woke me up. There arose such a clatter that I got up, and then I had a little bit of trouble getting back to sleep. But I eventually did, and that's because I have a great Steinhoffels Tempur-Pedic mattress. And if you're looking for your best night's sleep, you can get it too, and maybe your dogs won't get into a rumble in the process. Tempur-Pedic's advanced pressure relieving technology helps make those everyday aches and pains a thing of the past. And right now, queen hybrid models start at just $52 a month with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. And when you buy, you'll get $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. If you want to level up your comfort, you can add anti-snore adjustable base and sleep even better. Steinhoffels is your mattress destination, so shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. We'll get into Packers training camp. Matt LaFleur will be at the podium in 18 minutes. We'll have to wait and see if he has anything of note to share. I'm guessing he'll get some questions about the Ball King, which we will talk about next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
It reminds me of our 2016 year.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
I think being the underdog is a great thing for Wisconsin football. I think this could be that year.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted.
Continuing with John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better as the Tausch summer sabbatical rolls on. Now, he's scheduled to reappear on Monday at the ESPN Madison Open.
That is the plan. He has shifted plans before based on travel, as we all well know. But he is...
He handles travel setbacks very well, yes, too, from my recollection.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't complain about them at all on subsequent radio programs.
No, not at all. But he should be here on Monday. That is the plan.
Well, we are very lucky to have so many great cousin subs, including Brad Nortman, who I snubbed earlier. All right, I want to get into this because I want to get John Anderson's thoughts because, like me, he's got old school chops. You might be a smidge older than me, but not a ton.
I bet I'm a ton older than you.
I'm 53.
I'm 60.
Holy cow, you are old. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
that's a gap. That's not a ton.
That's a gap. I'll allow it.
I was in I always think, look at it like this. I was graduating, you were in fifth grade. That's not close. We weren't hanging out.
You know, the greater issue is that there's a 7-year span between myself and Paula. So I don't really love the way you chose to frame that. So let's talk football.
Sure.
So one of the overarching themes of camp to this point, undeniably, has been the physicality. I mean, it is Nate Hobbs. We've spent so much time talking about. Then we had the incident and the subsequent take a lap. Like you were coaching Green Bay Southwest High School, and there was a little bit of a melee, and the bonding that occurred because of it. But it's fascinating to me, and Goody kind of started it when he spoke on Tuesday, and basically said, "Look, we want to be a certain kind of football team that we think can have success in the playoffs, and that's a physical one. And if we're being honest, and Tausch has said this a bunch." That loss to Philly in the playoff game left a mark because I think they feel like they were thoroughly out-physicaled in that game. And so it led to changes on the offensive line. It has led to this emphasis on physical play. And what it has also has led to is kind of an unintended consequence are some situations early in camp where guys have crossed the line and there's been issues. And so I wanted to get to this. You know, we'd heard Matt LaFleur talk about it. We'd heard Goody. I wanted to hear what Rich Bisaccia, who's coached in the league forever, and Adam Stenovich said to this. So let's start with my question to Rich Bisaccia and how he framed the physicality of this training camp thus far.
Hey, Rich. You've done this for a long time. You've been a head coach before. Goody was talking yesterday about how you guys want to be a specific type of team and physicality is part of it. You know Nate Hobbs from your time with the Raiders. What has the first weekend change been like with the physicality and finding the line between trying to become the team you guys want to be physically and taking care of each other? Because I don't remember a time where it's been a little bit of a struggle to find that line like this.
Yeah, I think it has to start with, you know, Coach LaFleur. I think we sit down, we watch the film of every game last year. We all go through, you know, what are our pluses, what are our minuses, and how we can improve, obviously, as a team. And I think, you know, what Coach has done and what he's instituted is, you know, how we're going to practice and the physicality in which we're going to practice. Now, we're going to do that within the realm of the rules and in the realm of taking care of each other. But we are in training camp. It was very early in pads. Things get a little bit chippy. And so I think we would rather have to pull back. I think every coach would probably say that than have to push, right? And I think that's where yesterday led us to as the day went on. And I compliment Coach and the way he's pushed us in the off season to look at things that we need to get better at and each position for us and each group for us, how we can all get better. And I think yesterday was a little bit of what we wanted to look like. And, you know, at the end, Coach let him know where the line was and when we crossed the line and what the next pad of practice should look like. So I compliment Coach and the way he approached it with us in the offseason to start with. And now the mentality for us is we got to help his vision, you know, come true in practice so that the games can be a little bit different, leaning towards our side.
So, John, my question for you is when you watch this team and you obviously watch the playoff game, there's no denying that this is an emphasis. Bisaccia just said so. Did you watch them thinking these guys got the crap kicked out of them by the Eagles? They are not physical enough. Was that one of your takeaways as well?
I thought other than, you know, the turnovers is always the easiest thing to point to. But I thought there were several games where they just, yeah, they got kind of, I don't know, seriously mauled. But they did not look like they were the more aggressive team or the tougher team. And that is, I always say, it's kind of like, I always go back to the hockey example, right? You never hear a hockey coach ever when they say what happened. They never talk about anything other than we didn't work hard enough. Like, that's the explanation for everything in a hockey game. We didn't work hard enough. We just didn't give the effort. We weren't tough enough. We didn't take the body. And I think that defines football as well. There's a lot to 3 yards in the cloud of dust. There's a reason that all your offensive linemen that you work with want to run block over pass block and all those other things. And yeah, I thought they were not the tougher team. And on top of that, I thought I'd gone over this with Homer. On top of not just what appearing to feel like, because it's hard to take those guys and go, you're not tough enough, right? Like, you've seen that sport. It's hard, right? Mm-hmm. Guys on Tuesday walk around in their boot and their neck brace and their crutches, and they're probable. And then they show up on Sunday. So I'm trying not to get away to say they're not tough, but they don't ever seem like they're a nasty team, right? Like, I don't know, when you got a guy down and you rub some dirt in his face or something, they just never seem like they have this nasty streak. Mm-hmm. And I think listening to Goody, right? Like, that is, I mean, he said it pretty much out loud, right? That's calling your team out. Dude, you are not physical enough. You are not nasty enough, which is a pretty bold pronouncement, don't you think?
Very much so.
For that guy to make. And so I would think it's out there. And then I very much agree with Passaccia. I would much rather have to pull somebody back. You know, it's like when I tell people all the time, write more than you need. It's way easier to take it out than come back and put it back in and make it fit and do all those other things. Mm-hmm. And so that we have a bit of a casualty with Lynch, like, that to me is some of the price of doing business if you're going to be what you want to be. And for years, they did two-a-days, and it was padded practices, and you had Oklahoma drills and all this other stuff. And I don't know that there were appreciably more injuries than there are now when you try to be cautious. In fact, I think there are times the caution gets in the way of what's happening. It's kind of the old John Madden, right? Either get into the pile or get away from it. But if you kind of dance around it, you're going to be in trouble. So I wouldn't be particularly upset. I guess, you know, LaFleur really made a really dressed him down about what happened there, which is, I wonder if that is him trying to show he's involved, right? Like, he's going to be just as mean and nasty as they are. I'm curious to see if that sells. I'm curious to your thought on that, because you're around him and have been since he showed up. But that seems a little bit of a departure for him as well when it comes through. But I do think, yeah, that's a team. They need to be way nastier than as a group than they were before. I'm not saying they're polite. And I also made mention of this before, because you can be West Coast offensive guys and do all that other stuff and be mean and nasty. Those 49er teams under Bill Walsh, for as smart as Bill Walsh was and the genius and their finesse, dude, Ronnie Lott and those guys on the defensive line with Fred Dean or Charles Haley, or you go back to the offensive line, those guys were like, what does Dylan said? They were like they were born in a hurricane with a snake in each fist. And so that's, you know, that doesn't preclude, just because you may run more screen passes or rhythm throws, doesn't mean you can't just be, can't be nasty up front. And I think that's right. The Packers have to do that. The Lions clearly have that, and it comes from their head coach, though it seems a bit more organic coming from him than it does Matt.
Yeah. And I'd be curious if, because I said this to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, my bias of, boy, that was really neat that all those guys ran with Sheed.
Yeah.
I took the story that angle. And I think there is the question to be asked of, because Rasheed Walker's reaction, which I did include in my story, to being told to take a lap of what? It was like that face that Steph Curry made to LeBron during the finals. Remember that, like, 6 or 7 years ago? Like, what are you yelling at me for? Like, I do wonder if those guys, while they were running, were turning, Can you believe he told us to take a lap? What is this, right. High school? So I don't know about that, but I did not focus on that. All right, you just said the perfect segue, though, to what Adam Stenovich had as his answer to my question, because, look, they have revamped their offensive line. Look, say what you want about how much they try to give away Sean Ryan's job. I mean, they're always looking to replace him, and it appears they're always looking to replace Rashid Walker. But Sean Ryan is nasty, and not just because he uses the F word every fifth word when I talk to him. He plays with an edge. They got Aaron Banks because he's a big, bad dude, right? They wanted a bigger – they moved Elton to center instead of bringing back Josh Myers because they wanted another guy that can be nasty. We've seen it. He got into it. He has the guts to get into it with Aaron Donald. He ain't afraid of nobody. And I wondered if they viewed this physicality as something they needed to start with their offensive line. So Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator but former offensive line coach, felt like the perfect person to ask.
We've spent a lot of time talking about physicality in this camp. I'm curious for your guys, especially up front, was there an off-season feeling of, you know, after the way things went in Philly or the way Detroit plays, we need to be more physical?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime, you know, you get to those playoffs, you get to that position, you know, however you are, where you're at is going to get exposed. And I think that's one thing we talked about and one thing, you know, we're going to focus on is making sure we're the most physical football team on the field when we go out there and play. That's going to be a big thing for us. So, yes.
And I love Steno, and I hope the competition line about Zach Tom and some other things he said do not prevent him from being as open and honest as he is, because he is honest. And he just used a word that tells you what they think. Exposed. Right? He thinks they got exposed. They think, as a team, that they got exposed by the Eagles as not being the more physical team. And John, that's his again, he's not the offensive line coach, but that's his background. He played that position in the league.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear to me that they feel like that's the place that it's got to start. You always want your defense to be physical. They did sign Nate Hobbs for that reason. But on offense, yeah, that's great. They got a great scheme, and Matt LaFleur is a smart guy. But you hear it with Homer when you sit with him every Tuesday. They need to be more physical offensively, and it starts with those guys up front, doesn't it?
Well, and that's like, don't you think of all the things you can be called, that's the most insulting thing. Mm-hmm. In football is that, oh my gosh, you weren't tough enough or you weren't physical enough. Like, that is just the worst insult of, you know, mm-hmm. that and of course your mama jokes. But beyond that, that's like the worst thing that you can do, right? Okay, you turn it over. Well, we can work on ball security. We can, you know, there are a lot of other aspects that define winning and losing. But the one that would insult people the most is that, like, you guys, just the other team was tougher than you. Because, like, that's the worst admission that can happen. So I think if they are willing to say that publicly, both Goody and then what Stenovich said, like, then you know they're getting an earful behind closed door in meeting rooms and stuff, right? That's being preached. I don't know that that's how they write it on the whiteboard when they go out. But, you know, like, that's got to be – I don't know if they've painted any new signs that you can see along with their play like a champion today. But that you know, they've got to be worn out, which is, by the way, in some part why you got to look at LaFleur like, wait a minute, you're giving me a lap and I'm doing exactly what you want me to do.
Right.
Like, at some point.
Great point.
Right. At some point does LaFleur go, when he gets back and he goes, was that great or what? You know, like, that's what we needed. So of a little of that, I'm not really sure why he then suddenly condemned that when that appears to be the exact thing they were looking for. And I do think, yeah, there's no question when they were jogging that somebody had to say something like, what the hell is this? Like, we've got to be, you know, I don't know if they discussed, you know, where they were going after practice or who's got a date for prom yet, but I'm sure that it was quite the thing. But to have those two guys, as you said, because offensive line coaches are always offensive line coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never ends. They're the guys that are always seem to be, I don't know Stenovich well, but some of the guys that I used to be around, whether it was college guys. Carl Mauch with the Cardinals was an all-timer about that, you know. And Carl Mark, there were times he was like, let me show you how you do it. And I'm just here in my bike coach's shorts and I don't have a helmet, but I'm willing to go just pound into whoever the defensive tackle is to show you how it's done. So guys like Stenhall, you said that's his DNA. That's never going to go away in how he feels it. So maybe that's a plus that's the guy in that coordinator position. But if all of those guys, I would do the same. I'm like, if this is what you're asking for on both sides, I'd go until they got to pull me off somebody, you know? And then at some point, if it gets bad, because you're adults, I would say, so what do you want? Where's, you know, how much is enough? Because I don't think you can just show up on, you know, the Jets game in the preseason or even week one and just conjure that up. You know, and I think they've shown that with how poorly they've played in the first game. We've talked about that before, how play, you know, like you can't, okay, here it is. I guess now we'll be physical. I think you got to have some of the bruises and the welts on you before you ever get into the regular season.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder what they're going to do from a preseason perspective. If this is because look to your point, and I think you're 1,000% right. You preach this, you have to know that guys are going to go too far, right? And I think, you know, maybe it's a little bit out of Matt's comfort zone that they're being this physical, because I think he does. You know, Homer says it all the time. You know, he's smart more than tough. That's his mentality. That's what he believes in philosophically, and I don't blame him for that. But if you're going to be constantly harping on the importance of being physical, don't be surprised when guys are too physical.
Right.
Right. That's the, you know, and what the law is too
physical? Until the flag comes out, I don't know what too physical is.
Right.
I don't think that there's a thing.
Right. Exactly. So that is kind of where they're at. Matt LaFleur is at the podium now. We'll see exactly what he talks about. I am here with John Anderson. Want to tell you about Associated Bank, who has been here with us as a show from the very beginning and with the Packers from the very beginning, way back in 1919. You know, I love their old saying about how it's not branches that make a bank local, it's roots. And the roots are incredibly deep here in Green Bay and in the state of Wisconsin. And more importantly, their customer service goes deep as well, whether it's early pay that gets you your money up to 2 days early with your direct deposit or credit monitoring or fraud protection or the great Packers, Badgers, and Brewers checking accounts. They've got it all. So be sure to go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More with John Anderson, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
The last four or five games are going to be very difficult.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
But I still think they can get 11 wins out of this schedule.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate.
Floor at the podium downstairs, he says that Marshawn Lloyd's groin injury is not long term, but you will not see him the rest of the week. So he'll miss family night on Saturday night. Maybe he'll be back sometime next week. But again, not many guys I've come across with far worse luck than Marshawn Lloyd has experienced so far in his NFL career. Jesse, what is our physicality conversation brought on the carbless talk and text line? List is more.
Some critique of Matt LaFleur is what it's brought. Here's a text from the 727 area code. Any guesses where that is? I looked it up.
Wyoming.
Nope. Western Florida near St. Petersburg. St. Pete. Remember to send us your name and where you're texting from so we can give you proper credit. Should you be tough and build a tough team without losing emotional control? Maybe LaFleur didn't work on this stuff in the offseason. He's under more pressure this year. He needs to be under control now more than ever. I think the critique there is that LaFleur lost a little emotional control yelling at the team on Tuesday. Do you think that's an accurate portrayal or no?
I don't think he lost control. I would say that the other part of that, though, you know, when the new team president comes in and says point blank to us that they're not going to get extensions before the season and that he doesn't believe in lame duck status, I think it's what Tausch and you and I talked about previously, Jesse, the fact that, you know, this is basically a scenario where if they have a great season, they're going to both Goody and LaFleur are going to get multi-year extensions. If they have another 9-8 and sneak into the playoffs and lose in the first round, they're probably going to get one-year extensions and they're going to be big time on the clock in 2026. And if somehow the floor falls out from beneath them and they go 4-13, then we got some really interesting conversations that are going to be occurring. But I don't foresee that last scenario playing out. But I do think he's feeling it a little bit. I have not gotten that indication from him. I'm just kind of reading some tea leaves there. But, you know, he has been more demonstrative. And it wasn't just having Rashid Walker go for a jog. It was, I mean, he got after them in that post-game huddle. I mean, he swore a lot. Which, again, I swear, not on this show, although I may have used a word I shouldn't have on KBN recently. But the bottom line is that, you know, coaches do that. Let's not pretend that, you know, they're up there, reading Ephesians. It's part of the deal, but it is out of character for him because that has not been something he's done a lot of.
What do you suppose that is? Why is it that in football, more than anything, you got yellers, screamers, and curses?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I do think there's also more of it in basketball than there are in other places too. And that's why I just remember watching Brad Stevens coach when he was at Butler and thinking, That's the kind of guy I want to play for. Because when I screw up, it's not because I screwed up because I wanted to screw up or I'm not trying hard enough. So screaming at me, that doesn't work for me. Give me the tools so I don't screw up more. Help me learn how to do this so I don't. And I in my much, 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 much lower level, I try to coach the same way. I just don't think it's productive. Football coaches, I don't know. I don't get it. It is. And they don't have a staff full of those guys now, by the way. They do not have a lot of those guys.
If it is testosterone, I don't know if it is. That's how you get the attention. I don't know if it's because you get so wildly emotional, that's the only way you can get attention. But I've gone to Missouri's first couple of practices, and they're always, even if it is not in anger, there's always yelling, there's always screaming. And I'm with you. Like, if you want me to do something, I feel like I'm smart. Just tell me what you'd like me to do.
Right.
And then I'll go do that. And I don't think, and I always marvel or wonder with the coaches that always go, you know, we're teachers first. We're not coaches, we're teachers. You know, like, really? Because I had math teachers, and every once in a while I get a math problem wrong, and never once in front of the rest of the class did they just dress me down and scream at me because I had my math problem wrong, right? Like, so if you're teachers, I don't know how, like, some of the things coaches do, you're like, if you were a teacher and did that in a classroom, like this, and this has nothing to do with my current profession, I've always wondered this, like, just because you misconjugated a verb, are you just going to really take me to the woodshed? But guys jump off the snap count, and you'd swear that this is the next thing to a felony. And I've always been amazed at the amount of screaming and yelling that happens in football. And I don't know that all of it is necessary, but I don't know. It works. Listen, Lombardi yelled at people, and they won a lot of games. So maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Right, but I would say, like, Jeff Hafley, I think, to me. And again, we'll see what his defense does this year. He sure looks like a really good coach to me. And he's not that way. He's more, dare I say, professorial, right? He's a teacher. And yeah, I mean, I do think that there has been a trend. And I'm not saying that Sean McVay doesn't yell or Kyle Shanahan doesn't yell. But the reason why LaFleur, when he does it, is noteworthy is because that's not his style either. Like they just don't. I think that there's we're in an era, and we have a style of coach with a background that aren't that way. And so I think there is a trend away from that. And the reason it's jumping out this summer is because it's not how he normally is. And that's what leads to questions.
And I'll be curious to see, because you know this, you've been around, guys will tell if it's authentic or not. If they think he's just, you know, cursing and putting up the volume to make a show of it and try to, you know, not for those assembled, but the guys he's talking to. They'll know if he's just okay. Like coach apparently has just decided today he's going to yell and that's it. And so I think it's easy for them to tell if like, wow, he's really pissed and this is what he's making his point, or if they think it's for show. I'll be curious to see, because it's so early, if, you know, if there's more of this, if and to the point of, you know, talking about if he's lost control. I'm with you. I think just because you make the Walker thing and then y'all have to practice one time, I don't know that changes or redefines your whole personality or that you've lost it. But I would be curious to see if it persists or what happens. And then if guys think it's genuine and are moved by it, or if they become quickly dismissive of it, if it's not authentic.
Totally agree. Authenticity does not play. All right, let's take one more text and then we'll get to the 10 o'clock hour. Cause I really want to get to the Ball King, which I can guarantee you, if you know anything about me, as soon as Halfley started talking about it yesterday, I was all in and very much looking forward to writing that story.
Dave and Aaron here on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Lists more. The team wasn't physical last year, but Jason, I think LaFleur needs to be called out as well, because it seemed like he took the foot off the pedal in multiple games, making it much closer than it needed to be.
I don't know if I agree with that. I'm not sure that I got that feeling in some of those games.
I think teams took the pedal, their foot off the pedal against them more than they did last year. Like the Vikings twice, they almost had big comebacks.
Yeah, and I would also say this, like I think in some instances that's not LaFleur, that's immaturity. Like, I do think that this is one of the drawbacks of having perpetually young teams and not veterans that are going to get after you if you start to. I think it's more likely players took their foot off the pedal, right? And thought, all right, we've got a 17-point lead, we're good. I think that's more likely the case than LaFleur, because remember this about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur was so concerned in that playoff game against Dallas and is so leery of blowing a lead that he took Love out. The Cowboys got a couple of scores. I think a touchdown or a field goal, maybe. Maybe it was two touchdowns. But I don't think so. And when he took Love out, and the only reason I remember this is I was mad at him because it was perfect, no pun intended, for the story. Love left the game with a perfect 158.3 passer rating. And he put in Sean Clifford, and then the Cowboys scored a couple times, and he panicked, and he put Love back in promptly to throw a pass to Tucker Kraft on a third down that Tucker Kraft dropped and ruined the perfect passer rating, which, as a writer, I wanted the perfect passer rating. He had a perfect game, and he ruined it, Jerry. Our day was ruined, Jerry. But I don't think he has a problem with keeping his foot on the gas. I think there's he said all gas, no blank and break to Aaron Rodgers several years ago. I think he believes that. I would say this to Dave and Aaron. Dave and Aaron, not Dave and Aaron, which it sounded like I said. There's a lot of things to criticize LaFleur for. I think there's fair criticism to be had against him. I don't think that's one of them. That's just me. All right, I want to get to the Ball King and the King of Missouri will help me with that in the 10 o'clock hour, or at least the professor. 7.5, Sharapova, whatever we're calling him these days.
Yep, a lot of stuff going on.
Homer's one of one, man. There's no two ways about that, that's for sure.
We'll kick off
he is. That's part of his charm. All right, we will kick off the 10 o'clock hour late like we do on this show pretty much every single day, no matter who's hosting, no matter who's a guest, no matter what. Will the Attach continues in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.